Und jetzt Vollgas über den Gaumen. Das schmeckt so gut. Und noch ein bisschen mehr. Und?
Moment mal. Hier steht 100% ohne künstliche Zusätze. Nur mit natürlichen Zutaten.
Frosta Butter Chicken mit jeder Menge Bäm. Ohne Bäh. Das ist das Frosta Reinheitsgebot. 100% ohne Zusätze. Schon seit 2003.
Welcome to the Shutdown Full Cast. You are listening to the internet's only college football podcast. And lucky you, because what realm is more chaotic this week than that of college football? Yes, even just 4 weeks shy of the official hangover day for the first day of college football this year. We are still making moves, y'all. Nonsense, tomfoolery, flim-flam, and hokum all still happening on the reg daily in the college football offseason. It will not stop. No one is in charge, and everyone has no clue what is happening. In fact, let's just start. I know there's a lot to get to, but I want to start with this. Before it goes too far over the horizon, I need to make fun of the University of Miami Hurricanes.
Introducing our co-hosts.
Nope, not doing it. This again, play fake. Going to keep you guessing.
We really are back in form.
Jason Kirk, Ryan Nanny, Holly Anderson, and Michael Serber on the ones and twos. Not introducing you this week. Yes,
Professor.
I'm sorry, Professor Michael
Doctor,
R. Serber. Is that
Serber.
Formal enough?
It's Professor Michelle Serber. Now.
That'll do. Now get on with the show.
I was just about to say it's pronounced
Survey.
Michaela.
Survey.
Did you hear the Survey. Academic tone of indignance and confidence and just assertion of authority?
God, I wish podcasting was a visual medium. Y'all, Serber has a pipe.
He's got
he has a
fucking
pipe. Not his usual kind of pipe. He has a blazer.
You just need some patches. You need some elbow patches.
Is that a vintage? Yeah. Is that the vintage wrestling tee that we both own underneath that?
It's Bash at the Beach.
Yeah, that's our twin t-shirt. Yeah.
Spencer, you got a TA's brain and an RA's body. Get on with the damn show.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that's really amped. Is what it stands for. It stands for ripped and awesome. RA. Bro. Speaking of bros, Miami, hi, how are you? Good to see you. If you're a Canes fan listening to this podcast, you don't exist.
Hey, Winslow.
Yes, hey, but we're here to go ahead and make good news.
Dirty Bird.
The good news is that everything's fine at Miami.
Hi, Jamie.
And since April, their largest...
Jamie doesn't listen to this.
No, their largest benefactor, John Ruiz, Miami businessman and private jet owner. And when I say
Papa
private
Juan,
jet...
Papa Juan, we can call him.
Yes, I mean a 767 owner.
That's not a private jet. That you have to call that something else.
That's an airline that you happen to be the sole customer for.
Yeah, you own a small fleet.
Yes. He has nothing to do with the current programming. Everyone's fine. No checks are bouncing. You can definitely believe everything I heard from a Miami person who was definitely not the Miami person who as recently as February was saying, yeah, that John Ruiz, he just gets it. Miami is a town full of absolute marks who, if you hear them going, yeah, you know, this guy, he just gets it. 90% of them are about to get fleeced and 10% of them are about to make off with the rest of the money.
God, we should have had Jess on for this.
I know. She'd be so
thrilled.
Jess,
we love you, babe. Hang in there.
It's a dumb guy town. And when you're in a dumb guy town, you start fleecing. And that, apparently John Ruiz was maintaining a risk-heavy business portfolio. If you don't know, John Ruiz started a company that was called Life Wallet. If Life Wallet doesn't automatically sound like a scam to you, let me elaborate and convince you further. Okay? Life Wallet was backing a substantial portion of the 2021, early 22 recruiting classes at Miami. All right? But this is from the Miami Herald, by the way, who described Life Wallet and Enterprises as a teetering enterprise. Built on a Coral Gables company that seeks to recover money paid by Medicare-affiliated insurance companies that should have been paid by a different insurance carrier. Once valued at more than $32 billion, it is now worth a small fraction of that. The shares went from $10 right after opening to the current price, which now trades for less than a quarter. Less wow. than a quarter.
First of all, that was a $32 billion business at some point.
That is correct.
That's horrifying.
That is correct. And they managed to do something very bad, which is this is Miami football again getting in trouble with the SEC, but in an entirely different way. In their filings to the SEC, which, by the way, they were late on, and then I believe had to refile because they
were
like,
for partying.
Yes. The company admitted in April that its earlier quarterly financial filings covering part of last year weren't reliable. So they had to call and be like, oh yeah, you know, those numbers.
Don't look at them. Don't look.
It's not shelf stable.
We were, as the experts say, in our bag that night. We were partying our dicks off, so to speak. And y'all might want some more sober numbers. For instance, in 2022, the company projected, before going public, that they would earn $992 million. I suck at math, but I'm going to say this. The number provided seems like less because the revised number was, it was not $992 million. It was $23
million. That's less. So that's not as much is what you're saying.
I just missed our projected earnings by $970 million.
Before the shutdown full cast school board convenes, let me just state that it is my opinion that $23 million is less.
I have missed bets before. I have missed projections. I don't think I've ever missed by that percentage. I don't think I've ever missed by 900
mil. As somebody who's repeatedly predicted Oklahoma State to win the national championship in the last like 15 years, I feel fine about this.
You feel great?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy there's a company that's worse than Twitter.
Yeah. Well, hold on.
Did you see about the
thing on the roof? Have they finally got the thing down?
Yeah,
they did.
The building keeps changing.
The thing that was being held up with sandbags and dangerously tilting towards the street.
Yeah, things are going great.
Just so you know, 80 for Brady made $40 million. So,
Jane Fonda's a god.
That's what we're looking at. Even Haunted Mansion, which just came out, a Halloween movie that dropped in fucking July, has made $33 million.
Yes. Yes, now a number of different people are suing LifeWallet. This is where you find good quotes, which is, does not appear to be in good financial shape.
Who said that?
And may not survive the duration of this lawsuit. A lawyer for a utility suing John Ruiz. Where does this apply to Miami Hurricanes football? Except, like, besides the big projection, small output. Besides that. Well, it applies to this because Ruiz, per the Herald, made headlines for his unsolicited proposals to build a new stadium for the Miami football team, which would be called, naturally, LifeWallet Stadium.
Sun Life name. Wallet.
Yep.
Fucking terrible name. Sun Life Dolphin Pro Player.
Yeah, really. Wallet. For a stadium that's been named after Jimmy Buffett's beer before.
Landshark.
Mm-hmm. Landshark Wallet.
It's such a low, it's such a low bar to step over, and yet they've limboed beneath. In true Miami fashion.
Do you think there are normal Miami boosters who are just like, fuck, man.
We're like dentists.
We just want to do like regular levels of dirt. And instead we constantly have to
like,
be
like, I just wanted
with,
to
like,
move to the beach and be a dentist.
Yeah. And just like, God, we just got done with Nevin Shapiro. And now we got to deal with this. But like, do you think they're like, oh, I would love to go be a Kentucky booster or something. This is exhausting.
I don't know.
Normal Miami boosters, call me.
They're, you know what you're signing up for.
That's true.
I'm a Miami Hurricanes booster. You know how that sounds.
Right.
You know that's how true. That strikes the ear. Yeah. And let's note it wasn't just football, because the LifeWallet man was buying rosters in all of their sports that appear on TV. So, like,
the LifeWallet man.
Also, his company last year made $15 million fewer dollars than Ben Simmons. So, things are going awesome. Wow.
I will say this, though, John Ruiz. Unafraid to take shots, baby.
That's true. That's what sets them apart.
Shoot or shoot.
Therefore, he's welcome in Philly, I guess.
That's amazing. So yeah, that's but according to my University of Miami sources, no, it's all good. It's all fine. Means it's a total disaster. Should just believe the opposite of what anyone tells you.
I just love, like, every 10 years Miami has a situation where they have to say, like, no, the guy paying to be in Rick Ross videos and whatever, we have managed to, just in the nick of time, diversify all of our boosting portfolio away from all of that.
And in between this, every time, they're like, we're a private school and actually a pretty prestigious institution, and we don't love football all that much, while the rest of the country goes, woo, at them. Because this is the Miami I love. I don't know about y'all.
I think you should.
It's not Kane's back, but it's turning to face that direction.
It's a triangle scheme we fell for this time, okay? It's not a pyramid. It's different.
It's a trapezoid.
It doesn't have a third dimension.
Much steeper on the sides.
It's a diamond scheme.
You see, this is where we're behind, though, because Miami boosters are already ahead of us, because do you know where they're going to salvage
trapezoid
money?
Trapezoid hands.
Yes. Which is like lobster, a seafood. See? Yeah.
There's all you have to do is do this. Hmm. Trapezoid hands.
Yeah. Just tilt it in. The U logo is just a couple of degrees away from being the triangle pyramid scheme that we all know it is. They're going to make money off of the billable hours on the other end. That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. Make money coming and going, baby. saving on taxes for the depreciation and this investment gone wrong. You think we're making fun of you? Galaxy brain, baby.
Well, this is the most pressing news in the ACC and college football this week, right?
That's it.
Okay. See everybody 100%. Later. Have a great day.
What it's been fun. Time is it?
LOL Canes.
I mean, to be clear, Miami might not be in the ACC by the time people hear this.
That's true.
Who knows?
Would that be good or bad news for the ACC?
Bad for the ACC.
All right. So... where are we? Let's establish what is true as of now.
August 1st.
So that when we are wrong.
Mm-hmm. Colorado
is
joining the Big 12.
Yes. Yes.
Arizona seems interested in joining the Big 12.
Right.
Arizona State and Utah are possibly on the cusp of becoming interested. The Big 12.
Y'all remember when the Pac-12 was going to take Texas Tech?
I do. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, I was thinking yesterday about it's going to go down as two of the biggest what-ifs in college football history, that moment when the Pac-12 looked like it could have had Texas and Oklahoma.
Was it the Orange Bowl?
And then that
guy?
Moment 2 years ago when the Pac-12 looked like it could have had, you know, some combination of Kansas, Oklahoma State, and pick two others and have, like, a very, very tidy 16-team conference that would have almost every team west of Mimal, outside of like Texas, OU, and A&M, that
shouts out, you know, to Mimal,
actually moves the needle. Like the Mimal, the west of the Mimal line conference, it would have been pretty good. And
Mimal's dick don't quit.
And now they're gonna have pretty soon like four teams. One of them's Cal.
So everything about this is strange, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I think this is the first, this, and by this I really mean like USC, UCLA, and Oklahoma, Texas. Like, this is the first time that since I have been doing this that conference realignment is truly in like, wait, what the fuck are we doing here? Because even when you look at like Maryland and Rutgers going to the Big Ten,
what?
They were, yeah, I know.
Rutgers.
They were weird fits.
Just right.
They continue to be weird fits, but like the sort of plain, well, you know, we want to expand the conference. We want to expand the television footprint into two big markets, Rutgers, gem of the New York City metro area, et cetera. Like, I could at least kind of grasp it. And now I'm just sort of like, I don't know what anything means anymore. It's very confusing.
Yeah, we have it just looks like a situation where the Big 12 is just nibbling into the Pac-12 just to assert itself. Like, you thought about just taking our stuff. So we're taking your stuff that's closest to us, whether it's of any particular value or not. And like, I get the basketball, like the commissioner, the Big 12 commissioner thinks basketball is undervalued. So that makes Arizona and fucking UConn desirable. And you know, that would be a great basketball league. And UConn's a 500 type team now. So like, it is a distant jump from USC, Oklahoma, and Texas changing conferences to like now we're debating the value of like, should you also bring along Arizona State? And no bias, I am wearing an Arizona State hockey shirt right now, so I'm allowed to say such things about Arizona State.
Have you ever had something stolen off your porch that you're like, no one will steal that?
Yes.
And then they do, and you're like, I'm not even going to call the cops. Like, thanks.
I guess they can have it.
Yeah. So Colorado's going to the Big 12.
That's a good example of like everything is true at once. Dan Lanning does this press availability, I think yesterday, where he's sort of like, hey, does anybody remember Colorado winning anything? They did have one good year. It should be noted for Colorado fans, they had one good year, including, and they beat Oregon in that year. Mm-hmm. But like his larger point, Colorado football, in since the move to the Pac-12, incredible non-entity. Like in a time when in the Pac-12 South specifically, that division was garbage. Was ripe for somebody. Utah has taken advantage of that window in many ways, and like Arizona and Arizona State have both had little bubbles of windows there.
That's a bad sign.
And Colorado really has done, it did nothing of consequence. But at the same time, the Big 12 is not totally wrong to crow about this, because if Colorado only matters as like a TV unit and nothing else, which is the world we live in now, like it is more valuable to have them than to not have them, perversely, even if they're never good at football.
Yeah, I mean, I think their value is as a asserting dominance kind of thing. I really do, because like now the door is open for any other Pac-12 school to leave without feeling like, oh, we're the ones who caused the Pac-12's downfall. And it's like, stop worrying about it, folks. USC caused the Pac-12's downfall. Like the Big Ten killed the Pac-12. Arizona leaving is not what's going to kill the Pac-12. Colorado, however, was like a move that would have felt lateral up until, you know, maybe a half a year ago. But now it's like, wow, good for Colorado.
What a coup. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Not just the ability to steal a school back, you know, but like the fact that this is viewed as an overwhelmingly good lifeline for Colorado is just, it's sort of a thing causing its own reality. Like the fact that Colorado is willing to do this proves the pecking order beyond any doubt.
Institutional.
And it's about to be fifth.
Institutionally, by the way, this is fine. Individually, this is terrible for Deion Sanders, because as if you weren't already convinced that he's going to flame out, find an excuse to go and jet ASAP. Can you imagine that man losing to Iowa State? You imagine like the reaction of that man getting hammered at K-State?
Is that different from Washington State?
Yeah, because more people will see it. That's it. That's the main difference.
I guess that is the value of the Pac-12's TV deal right now, is you can get away with anything.
that's the other thing that happened today that we forgot.
Yeah, yeah.
The Pac-12 had a meeting about the TV deal. The same TV deal, which the absence of appears to be a big reason why Colorado made this jump. And the only reports that came out of it were good meeting, no details discussed, yeah. No deal signed.
Has been the state of things for like a year now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I know how it went. It went like this. So you say that people subscribe to this channel. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then while you're watching, you try to get donations. Mm-hmm. But not in dollars. They're in the form of bits. Yeah, that's right. That's a convertible unit.
They have to use that, right? I don't really see what the problem is.
Yeah. So you're football. Run that past me again. There's a field.
Oh, if only we could run it past you, then we wouldn't be in this situation.
Running it past you is quite easy, Pac-12.
Just the Pac-12 turning into like the 1,348th ranked Twitch user. That's what I want.
I
want Kofi to dominate them.
Exactly.
So I was reading
Mr. Least over here.
I want the stitches that Kofi does on top of their videos to make more videos.
Yeah.
I was reading an old John Wilner thing that he had guest written by a guy who was like the assistant to the chancellor at UCLA for like 30 years or some shit. Relevantly, he was in this position when the Pac-8 initially expanded to Arizona and Arizona State. And he revealed that for a brief moment, USC and UCLA threatened to leave the Pac-8 if Arizona and Arizona State were not allowed in. because Stanford and I believe it was Washington were more or less like, yeah, these schools don't belong here. Like, they're not like of our class. We don't want them here.
This is a compliment to Washington's football culture. I keep forgetting they're a good school.
Yeah.
The other thing that was fascinating about this was, so this is before the Supreme Court decision that basically opens up the television market. So both of these schools as TV assets, that wasn't relevant. What was relevant was that at the time, the Pac-8 had a ticket revenue agreement where every team had to split the home gate with the visiting team. And USC hated this because if Washington State came down to Southern California, to the Coliseum, they had to split the revenue. But when they made the return trip to Pullman, like the money just wasn't as good. And Arizona State had this big stadium and was constantly packing it. And USC was like, why don't we go get these Arizona schools that people are going to, and that will improve. Like, that was the whole thing driving it, was the thing that nobody cares about even talks about in these discussions, is like people actually going to football games. That right. was the driving financial concern. And I
which is at least a business decision.
Sure. And
that's,
I guess,
a discernible business decision.
Yeah. I guess what gave me some optimism, or maybe sort of like tempered my pessimism about conference realignment reading this story, is like, what is important and relevant today may not be the same thing in 20 or 30 years. So like, there is part of me that kind of wonders, like, yes, USC and UCLA are off to the Big Ten. I don't know if they're going to stay there. I don't know if 20 years from now, everybody's going to be like, this fucking rules. We love that we have to send all our non-revenue teams on fucking shared flights. Like, it's, you know, two middle schools going on a Washington, D.C. trip together so that mm-hmm. they can go to gymnastics meet. Like, there are so many pieces of this that I think will suck on the ground, that even though the top level number is very big and very loud, I am kind of like, yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't rule out that, like, even if the Pac-12 meets its untimely and unfortunate demise today, this week, next month, whatever.
This too shall pass.
This is all, like, this is all a very, this has always been a very fluid thing. This has always been, South Carolina was in the same conference as all the SEC schools, and then it wasn't. And now it is again. Like
Colorado.
Yes, mm-hmm. Colorado is back home, perversely. Like, I don't know. I choose to believe that as much as everyone likes to think like, oh, this is the thing that determines our destiny, it was 2 years ago that everybody was like, well, the Pac-12 is king and the Big 12 is toast. So, like, who fucking knows where we'll be 2 years from now?
It was 2 years ago that we all agreed the Big Ten definitely won't kill the Pac-12.
Right. There was an alliance. There was a goddamn alliance.
And now the Big Ten might kill the ACC, the other alliance member.
Can we make a super serious, like, 6-hour... Can we make a podcast series about the alliance that is longer than the alliance actually lasted?
Yeah. We'll say it starts right now, and then
I will say,
declare it over.
I do think Notre Dame should go join the Pac-12 now.
Well, yeah, it goes without saying.
Yeah, run shit.
So they can run away from USC, yeah.
I think they should continue to play that game, but say it doesn't matter. It's a non-conference matchup anyway. Stanford's the opponent we care about because that's a conference game.
God. I think that, by the way, Stanford saying that Arizona and Arizona State don't belong in the conference back then, mm-hmm. that's the funniest part, because I'm like, yeah, because people go to those games. Stanford's like, whoa, overcrowding. It's too many people in the stadium.
The way it's described, they were in the meeting to where they had to get a unanimous vote, and Stanford's president was like, well, you know, we don't feel good about this. We think we're voting no. And USC's president was like, we will announce. They had, you know, there's press outside waiting to expect. They think they're about to hear, like, oh, we're welcoming Arizona and Arizona State. And USC's president was like, I will go out there and tell them we're leaving immediately. We're leaving the Pac-8 today. And UCLA's reps were like, well, if they do it, we kind of have to do that shit too. Like, they were ready to blow it up.
You gotta love this about USC.
UCLA is the Gretchen Wieners.
Yeah.
I don't think my dad, the inventor of the toaster strudel, will be too happy about USC's decision.
My dad, the inventor of postseason college football.
Yeah. The inventor of the Rose Bowl.
Like, you got to love USC at least for this, that though they are run by like five crazy rich people, having just five crazy rich people in charge gets you some bonkers results and decisions.
Sure. Yeah.
It's never boring.
The Pac-12's academics thing has always been really funny to me. Like, the Big Ten gets away with that bullshit because it has large stadiums people like to fill. The Pac-12 trying to do the "we only associate with smart schools" bullshit is so funny. You don't have the clout to pull that off. For a while, you kind of did-ish, you know. You didn't want Arizona State. You never added Boise State. You know, like, you had tiny little footholds you could have used to strengthen yourself, but you turned them down because you think football is where research money is generated or something. I don't get what the hell sports have to do with like your academic rankings or
just
whatever.
But every time that argument comes up, I just hear Washington State cracking a beer in the back of class, right?
What? I wonder if that's the problem. Stanford's like, we cannot be associated with multiple Washington States.
The difference between the Pac-12 presidents and the Big 12 presidents appears to be the Big 12 presidents seem to be like, all decisions are good. All action is positive. Like,
add everyone. Yeah.
Add UCF, add Colorado, like all meat is good meat. Whereas the Pac-12 presidents are like, all decisions are bad. Because even going back to, like, there was a report, I think it was last week, about George Kliavkov coming into the conference and sort of saying, like, okay, I know I have to sit down with USC, I have to win them over, and talking about sort of like, this is what I'd like to do with conference expansion. And USC was like, no, we're not doing that, as they're, like, quietly sneaking out the back door. But, yeah, I mean, there's, I don't know. The TV deal is a good example of just sort of like, there are bad things that have happened to the two things are true. There are bad things that have happened to the Pac-12, and there are things that the Pac-12 has failed to do in light of those bad things.
Yeah. I mean, they had their chance. They had probably multiple chances to emerge as the fourth and possibly third conference.
So now we move on to whether or not Florida State's going to go to the Big Ten? A real thing? That's,
I love it. I'm going to let Nebraska open the floodgates.
For 10 years now, FSU has been complaining about, like, we should make more money than the rest of the conference, which is has been a thing in other conferences as well. And, like, I sort of feel like, you know, as soon as the glory days ended, FSU looked up and like, oh, it's not so fun just beating up all these bad teams. We actually should make the most money. And, you know, sure, I get it, but, like, you agreed to the 8,000-year contract, so, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
I hope you have good lawyers, I guess.
What's that contract through 26?
I think that's
30.
Oh, God.
Yes, 36.
Yeah, the ACC is locked in to, like,
bad enough
until the end of time.
The ACC Scottie Pippen'd this thing.
For not a lot. Yeah, exactly. Basketball also.
Nothing but celery salt.
Famously happy Scottie Pippen.
Guy who loves being second best.
Yep.
Yeah, but, I love that you say Ryan was talking about how USC was quietly negotiating out of the door. I remember being very surprised when USC left. I think most of us were sort of surprised by that. No one would be surprised if Florida State loses because Florida State has been waving a pistol at the meeting table for 10 years and openly saying, we want to leave. We'll go.
Please let us out.
Yeah.
Of the deal we signed.
Trying to break up for 10 years, and the ACC is like, it's so crazy.
At this point, I want to let them leave before they have a chance to play Miami in the championship game.
This is entirely speculative. But if I am...
On this show.
Yeah. Let's say you're Indiana.
Oh,
I feel so bad right now. Oh, God.
Wow, this sucks.
Homefieldapparel.com.
The sickness in my bones.
Let's say you're Indiana.
I feel so weary.
It's in my suit.
Let's say you're Indiana, and you're like,
I want a big, flat piece of pork. On a tiny bun.
What are you even referencing?
A real sandwich.
Why are we talking about sports in August? They don't start for several months.
Well, we're talking about Indiana and sports.
I'm sorry.
Sorry, Connor.
So you're Indiana, and you're like, fuck yeah, we have a seat. We're at the big kids table. Like, we have all the best Thanksgiving sides. This is the fucking life. The way in which conference realignment in this most recent iteration has taken place has made it very clear that anything that these conferences said mattered in terms of, like, fit and identity and geography and all that, that shit's all out the window. It is purely your what you bring to the table as a broadcast asset. Is there some part of you, if you are an Indiana, or and there's somebody like this in all the big conferences, that thinks, maybe I will not be welcome here at some point? Because if it's easy enough to bring in USC and UCLA and be like, fuck it, they're Big Ten now, then being Big Ten stops meaning anything. And that has been the thing that has sort of kept you there in the first... Like, Connor, we love you. We love all our Indiana listeners. But, like, Indiana football as a product is not the thing that makes the Hoosiers, like, a valuable and viable part of the Big Ten. And if that equation is changing drastically, will we ever get to a point where conferences start to say, either directly or through indirect means, like, no, this is running, we are going to start trimming the fat? Because, you know, there's you think about it in pro sports,
you're
which is where this
is gristle.
Yeah. And you know, pro sports, this is the question all the time of, like, pro sports don't expand because they're already like, we have too many teams. We would rather move teams around than see expansion. Well, you can't just pick Indiana up and be like, congratulations, you're in Dallas now. Although that'd be fucking amazing, to be clear. So I don't know. A part of me would worry if I'm lower on the pecking order of the power conferences that at some point I'm going to get the tap on the shoulder. That's like, hey, here's your buyout. You're done.
It's a thing that has sort of floated around college football conversation for decades, is like, why does Vanderbilt get to cash these checks, right? And, you know, the answer is always just like, oh, well, because they always have, and so they're in. Mm. It is feeling more and more real that we might get to a point where you have to actually do something in order to cash those checks, because, like, the arms race, ultimately the big picture arms race is Big Ten versus SEC, and there's all this jockeying to see who's third place. And, like, either the Big Ten or SEC will be first. The Big Ten surely doesn't want to, because, you know, despite killing the Pac-12 and its various other moves and launching the 2010s round of realignment and the 1990s round of realignment and the 1890s round of realignment.
And launching, like, the conference zone networks.
Yeah, despite all these, like, bloodthirsty business moves the Big Ten does, they would hate to be the one to fire that shot. So, like, as soon as the SEC finally decides we're swapping Vandy out for Clemson or whatever,
right?
Then the Big Ten's just gonna, you know, news drop that they're dumping Rutgers, Indiana, so on.
And I agree that this is going to happen, because what we're ultimately talking about here is we're done letting inertia be the thing that binds us together.
Sure.
And we have seen the schools that are making the schools that are making moves of their own accord have already stopped doing that. They have stopped letting inertia, history, whatever, bind them together. And the logical next step, I don't see anything else that could happen, but having that loss of inertia be inflicted upon schools who are not asking for it.
And I mean, how many times have we, not just this show, like every college football fan for the last 10, 20, however many years, said, like, relegation would be perfect for our sport. Like, it would just naturally balance things out. Mm. And, I mean, this would be manual relegation. It would be based more on money than wins and losses, but it'd be something. It would be, you know, say the Big Ten and SEC end up coast to coast, splitting the country in half, right? The Boise State would have a way up. Just make more money and you're in, you know? The UCF has basically pulled this off, but not at the expense of somebody being kicked down. Like, I think we're getting closer and closer to the point where, like, it'll be floated.
That pressure already exists for programs, because, you know, I've been doing the
at conference level discussion, sure, you know, like, Mississippi State doesn't have the same place at the table as Georgia. They never have.
No, and but in terms of actual effort, in terms of actually trying, like, the last team to get kicked out of a conference, for the kids who don't know, was Temple in 2001 out of the Big East. Temple had to fail for 10 straight seasons.
And that was, I think, attendance-based or something, right? Like, that, well, there's a financial indicator.
Or something?
It was attendance-based, but really it was also a sort of summary judgment on the overall execution of the program, which should say something because there were some truly lackluster programs in the Big East, and they singled out Temple. That's how bad Temple
there's
was.
There's an NCAA attendance rule, and it's usually ignored. Otherwise, the whole match is deleted.
Yes. In other words, they got called for things that no program gets called for because the effort was so piss poor across the board. There were, you know, they were, I believe, in the Big East size free riding. They were a free rider, basically taking whatever the collective sum earned by the conference and doing absolutely nothing. They were the worst roommate in the building. And that is something we haven't had to do, and no conference has chosen to do outright since 2001. The pressure to me, the evidence for that kind of pressure is this. There are very few teams and very few conferences where I can point to someone and say, you're not even trying. Like, organizationally, you're not even on the same page. The Big 12 does not have a single team that is not trying. They are trying so hard. There are many, many teams in the Big 12 trying as hard as they possibly can to be competitive in football. The ACC was the one conference where I went, gentlemen, we have some programs here that honestly, dropping to FCS might be a plausible option.
We went long on this Big 12 being the only honest football conference thing for Channel 6, by the way, and it's my favorite thing that we've written in a minute. You should check it out if you get a minute.
Plug.
I think... plug.
You don't have to say Big plug. 12,
come on, man.
It's like closing your tags, closing your HTML.
Yeah. Right, hashtag. Yes, sure,
close,
sure, sure.
Close,
sure.
Close plug.
Sorry for my livelihood.
I think the Big 12 is... sorry for what?
I said sorry for my livelihood.
Oh, congratulations on your livelihood.
Big Ten preview drops this week.
Oh, my God.
Plug.
I think the Big 12 is the exception that proves the rule on this, like, schools trying thing. Because, like, the Big 12 is just top to bottom, like, B-tier programs that are all doing their best, you know.
Yeah.
The ACC, the SEC, and Big Ten have stragglers.
Do they have anyone absolutely phoning it in? Like, yes. I mean... Does the Big Ten have anyone absolutely phoning it in?
What does that mean? I guess I don't know what that means. Like, it's hard for me to...
Is this a vibes question? Either, is this operational?
Is it either phoning it in or not capable, don't have a phone? Because, like, yeah. if you know, Indiana tries its absolute hardest, what does that even look like? Is it even worth anything to the Big Ten?
That's sort of the stickiest question here. Is
are,
like,
we giving grape jobs?
Like...
Yeah.
To use Vanderbilt as the example we keep going back to, like, Vanderbilt has started putting money into facilities, like, has hired a coach that I think mostly people are like, okay, this is the right direction. They have made some strides. They have made some recruiting improvements. But, like, the pathway for Vanderbilt to get to competitive in the division, let alone, well, not the division is going to be long, much longer, but, like, I don't know what the pathway looks like for Vanderbilt to be like, oh yeah, they're a top six team in the future SEC. Does that mean they're failing? Does that mean they're not trying hard enough? Or does that mean that's just not who they are?
My pick, I don't think, like, for Vandy, I think you have to go ahead and say institutional, you have your own priorities. For them, like, if you could go 6-6 every year.
Yeah.
Right? If you could go 6-6, they'd be elated. At 6-6.
Okay, if you can be punch a little bit higher, have a kick-ass baseball team and a bowling team.
Bowling, baby.
And Jerry Stackhouse, please build, like, a basketball team worth watching. Like, yeah. maybe that sort of checks all the boxes. Okay.
Right. And then you have some programs that I think are just institutionally incapable of being in a major conference just because of what the priorities for that institution are.
Sure.
Right? I like Boston College is right there. I don't know. Boston College turns out some really good football players. They're great at developing linemen every now and then. I do not know what they're doing. I do not know institutionally what they have in common operationally or even in terms of any priority with, like, Florida State or Clemson.
Sure. And as opposed to Vanderbilt or Indiana, like, Boston College is not culturally important to the ACC's identity at this juncture. You know, like, there's no like, oh boy, but we've gone back so long. We've been friends for so many decades that it's important. Like, that's not a factor.
Yeah. And also, like, by the way, like in terms of, like, priority, in terms of, okay, well, how do you establish, like, whether they're trying or not? It may astonish you to know that Jeff Hafley, the head coach at Boston College, makes $3 million. He makes $3 million. That's a lot of money relative to his peers. Like, that's falling behind, right? That's not damning, but it's like a little indication of, okay, are you guys really investing in order to compete? Because if you're not, the ACC honestly could use the help, especially with legacy powers in the conference like UVA. UVA's never that's an entirely different sub like rant sub discussion to have, but when you look back at UVA, where they are and what they could have been football wise that is just the largest, you know. I think they are what I think people thought UNC was a while ago, where you go, you're the flagship program for a major state and you've done nothing. You've done absolutely nothing. Like, maybe George Welch was the greatest head coach of all time, given how well he actually managed to do at UVA, because historically they've just been trash.
What I'm hearing here is NIL salary floor. If you can't raise enough money to pay every player on your roster thousands of dollars in addition to their scholarship, you don't need to be in a power conference or in a conference attempting to be in a power conference.
Like, and that's in some, like,
that's not a hard floor, whatever that number is.
In some ways, none of these ideas are, like, the airplane conference from 1959 that Pitt proposed was going to be Washington, Cal, USC, UCLA, Stanford, the three service academies, Notre Dame, Pitt, Penn State, Syracuse. That's not wildly different. I mean, you know, adjusting for how programs have changed since the 50s, like, it's not that different from some of the stuff we're talking about now. I mean, like, in the most extreme example, when the Big Ten's next deal is up, what is to stop, let's say, Michigan, Ohio State, Penn State, USC, UCLA, and I don't know, throw Wisconsin in there for fun, for just saying, just like, nope, we're just going to go negotiate our own TV deal. Like, we don't really need whatever inventory we get from Purdue and Iowa and everybody else. Like, we don't need it. We can go fill it ourselves.
This is the fuck you Iowa plan. Go away.
Iowa's borderline there.
They're right there. I think it'd be deeply unfair to the fine Iowa Hawkeyes.
It's like a Mendoza line or whatever, right? The Iowa line. Are you above or below? That's the.
I mean, I don't know. It's just, it feels like a weird time because I really do think that once you start to say that conferences don't mean anything, that conferences are just a TV negotiating group, it starts, like, I don't know what the spillover effects of that end up being, because, you know, we know we're going to see, like, in the SEC, like, certain rivalries are going to go away. Certain teams are not going to play each other every year. They're not going to play each other that often. And we've already started to see that as the conference expanded and everybody's like, why don't Auburn and Florida play anymore? Blah, 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 blah. But, like, the erosion of the regional identity or the conference as a defining characteristic does feel like it's going to inevitably suck some of what makes the sport different from its big brother, the NFL. Like, nobody really gives a fuck about the NFC versus the AFC. Nobody is, like, deeply invested in, like, the cultural difference between those two. And I think it will probably ultimately be bad for the sport to go towards this, like, everything is just a brand label, but secretly you're all getting, like, the same soda mix underneath.
Yeah. Yeah. Losing the regional stuff is, like, I think the single most dangerous thing for the popularity of the sport and all that. Like, NIL, wonderful, keep it coming, ramp it up, transfer portal, I love it, let's have more chaos, I don't care. Like, realignment, you know, as a year-round topic is like, okay, this is fun, this is great. Once we got to the point where geographical coherence no longer meant anything at all, then, like, okay, now we're actually seeing danger on the horizon.
There's also this, you can say that and admit that it's true, and also say the money's going to point you into a Super League direction. And at this point, when you look at, you go, well, who's going to move first, most aggressively and most decisively? It'll probably be the Big Ten.
It's not a Super League unless it's Big Ten and SEC, like, combined.
Which is why I think the Big Ten will ultimately pick off an SEC power. They'll try first. And they'll try with the most money. They will. They will try first. And they
I'm
will
not
try
saying
with the
you're
most
wrong.
Cash.
I'm just laughing at the idea of it.
It is. No. It, again, it is the stupidest idea in the world, but it's what's going to happen. Because I don't think, I just think in terms of like when I look at the pattern of behavior, which league is less content to stand pat? Right. Which league has been more aggressive? Which league jumped into television first? Which league went and pulled apart multiple conferences in order to acquire? Like, there's one league that has stolen, I'm sorry, recruited from at least what by my account three different conferences
like
in terms of
Pharaoh's tombs.
Yeah, four different conferences
in
because
Piscataway.
Right, Maryland was pulled out of the ACC.
Noted maritime home Rutgers of Emotep, Maryland.
Right, Rutgers pulled out of the wreckage of the old Big East.
I do think accusing anybody of looting the old Big East is not an accurate description of what happened there.
The Big Ten pulling from three powers.
Like maybe yes. You can say like Miami and Virginia Tech leaving, but like
yeah.
The Big 12 didn't loot the Big East by taking West Virginia.
That was an estate sale.
Rude.
Right? An estate sale with hurtful. Very low prices.
No, it's saying the Big East was bad, not saying West
Big
Virginia.
12.
Right.
West Virginia banging on the sarcophagus. I just fell asleep. I'm still alive.
I'm never going out with Bob again.
Y'all left me plenty of Beatles to snack on.
Thank you.
Not again.
Thank you for burying me with my shit per my instructions, though.
My cat's real angry. She needs to go out.
You don't have a cat. Goddamn.
New cat.
All right. So ACC, Pac-12.
Yeah, Pac-12 and Nebraska out of the Big 12.
Okay.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So, but they're the only conference that's done that. They're the only conference. They're the first conference to really, I think, in earnest, completely shatter regional affiliation. They're the first ones.
Yeah.
The first major conference to completely shatter. Yes, you have examples like the old Megawack, like the Megawack where like Hawaii and Louisiana Tech were in the same spot. But they did that because out of, you know, they did that out of just
they had
like
to.
Grab bag necessity. Yeah, they did that out of necessity for survival's sake and to put together a complete conference slate of any sort. The Big Ten didn't do that. The Big Ten did that because that's step one towards a national super conference where the Big Ten brand, it doesn't have to mean shit. It really doesn't. And it's going to work because right now they make so much more money than anyone else, including the SEC. Their team payout on average, now this is averaged for people who do not have full divestiture yet, right? They don't have full share like Rutgers. Rutgers does not have that yet. Which they desperately
need. Do they have it, or
still?
Did they borrow it against? I think they do have it, but
did they borrow against
it in a weird way? I'm probably getting that wrong, but
I got a guy. He fixed it for me. Yeah, that's Rutgers. Right now, they're getting like 59 mil a year. I think it's 58.8 mil a year. The SEC gets payouts of 49.8 mil a year. So the gap is already serious. So if you're a cynical betting person who's just looking at the numbers and you want pick big number win is the Big Ten makes an offer to an SEC team, probably one with a gripe, probably one it could peel off, probably one that it can add without waving too much of a white flag.
Tennessee,
their precious notion.
Don't
of,
laugh. I was thinking they would get mad at Kentucky because Stoops keeps making recruiting forays into Ohio and just deciding to eliminate that problem.
Oh, I was thinking Florida. Florida's mercenary.
Oh,
Florida's their Florida
boy.
Would be
it's a really
a,
good school.
It listen, they could at least say as an American Association of University School, right?
Does Florida being in that kind of like negate the whole premise?
Yes, very much so. You know, it's also like the kid in an Ancient Ugly Kid Joe shirt beating you on standardized tests, but sometimes it happens.
Sure.
Don't
project, please.
Yeah. Story of my life.
Ugly Kid Joe is such a specific reference.
It's such
that's
an
why you know
county.
He's projecting.
Yeah.
It's okay. Let it out.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, it's hard to say.
So, like, I thought that was my first pick because, one, we don't have to worry about geography. It's not like they're like, well, we have to go get Kentucky because it's on our border. No, they're just going to go get
right.
a TV
that
market.
That doesn't matter anymore.
Florida.
To be clear, I don't actually think the Big Ten is going to get Kentucky.
Yeah.
She said, willing it into existence. I'm not wishing for it every night.
Yeah, I would think they would go do that, you know?
I only want them out of the SEC because I'm scared.
I would also say if they were looking for another program, if they were being super cynical and just pulling numbers.
Go get Vanderbilt.
Listen, go get the Texas A&M. Didn't
fastest
care.
Growing metro area. What?
A&M, Texas. Because, yeah.
Oh, God, yeah.
All they care about in life is making more money than Texas. So mm-hmm.
That's it. They wouldn't care, yeah.
But then they couldn't play Texas regularly anymore.
Oh, no.
Until Texas joins the Big Ten.
Mm-hmm. Chasing A&M, as always.
I call my contract the original Big Ten, because I got it for 10 guaranteed. Bang, bang.
Got 10 digits in it.
Hell yeah. But yeah, those are the two. Like the Big Ten will win. If you want to like go ahead, bullet down, the SEC is going to get outplayed. They'll get lost in sort of internecine conflict between powers who are already partnered up with
make
a TV
that the Instagram
that has...
post for this episode.
Yeah.
Spencer
yeah,
Hall, the Big Ten will win. That's
they
it.
Will.
They context.
Yeah. And they've already, and frankly, like the partnership with ESPN, ESPN has its own issues developmentally, like looking forward. So like who's cashing their own checks and who's got the biggest bank right now? That's the Big Ten. Weird as it sounds.
So once the Big Ten is the thing that we think the NCAA is right now, right? Like once the Big Ten is top level college football, as long as it divides things up geographically, fine. It's all yeah. I want. It's all I care about is teams that are near each other playing each other.
So
and
we're
if
gonna...
it takes the Big Ten buying college football to do that, so be it.
So we're going to end up getting a war map that basically looks like, because if the Big Ten does what Spencer says, the SEC is going to immediately start gobbling up ACC teams, right? They're going to be like, well, fuck it. It's time. Like, we want six ACC teams. We don't care.
Clemson, Florida State, they're right there. That's the default plan. Slide right over to them.
Okay. So then it's basically going to be a risk map where the SEC is like, this weird sort of like sunbelty part of Texas, and the Big Ten is everything else.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, in that scenario, the Big Ten could
weird
just take Clemson and Florida State for itself.
Weird sunbelty part of Texas.
Florida State, an esteemed research institution.
Don't do this.
Yeah, yeah. It's
don't
do this. Yeah.
This is my favorite thing about Florida State, but I'm going to use it as a diss this month because I'm a bad person. They have a circus school.
Yeah, exactly.
That's their foundational element.
I fucking love it too.
Yeah.
See, I've gone from using this as an insult to thinking it's cool.
It's not. It's awesome.
Their anthropology department's in a strip mall, and I kind of love that.
Mm. Well,
where would you want to study American culture?
Yeah.
Yeah. You're in the right place, man.
Do you mean their anthropology with a Y or with an IE department?
No, that's UCF. Calm down.
They wish.
Their PhD in airy studies.
They're Ann Taylor Loft at best.
UCF is wet seal.
It doesn't line up at all. I think you mean Delia's. You're out of your league here.
Unfortunately, UCF is Spencer's gifts.
Where's the fart machine? Go Knights!
I don't know if we've already seen it, but there is going to be one like truly... one move in realignment that that both sides end up hating. Maybe it's already happened. At least one.
What is anyone getting out of Mizzou, for instance?
Oh, God, we haven't said the word Missouri all show. This
Mizzou's made more SEC title games than A&M has. So.
That's true.
I don't want to talk about it.
For what?
Yeah. That is one, like, I'm sorry, but that is one that I'm just sort of like, what has that added to anything for either side? I don't think.
Yeah.
I have never gotten the sense that like for Mizzou fans are like, oh fuck, this is sweet, this is fucking great.
Yeah, no.
Like
they don't seem to be having fun.
They probably could have won the Big 12 one of those years.
Sure.
Winning the Big 10 West, you could do that more than twice.
Mm-hmm. Or you could go 6-6.